Hello, and welcome to the Purple Squad Security Podcast. This is episode 56 for May 26th, 2019. I'm your host, John Svozik. Just a reminder, all opinions expressed on the podcast are those of mine alone and do not reflect those of my employer. Before we begin, I need to make a small correction to the previous episode regarding privacy. During that episode, I had mentioned that Amazon was requesting your password for your email account if you were signing up for a new account from a suspicious location. It turns out that I didn't mean Amazon. Let's start there. It was Facebook that was doing this, not Amazon. But in the context, I was actually making a mistake and I had actually mentioned Amazon. So apologies for that to Amazon. The reality is it was Facebook that was doing this activity. However, even Facebook has stopped doing that after there was a public outcry. So apologies to Amazon. To the best of my knowledge, they have never done this. And good on you, Facebook, for realizing the error of your ways and not doing it. It was just a shame that you didn't realize that before you made it live. But that's the past. So with the lawyers put to ease, we can continue on with the rest of this particular episode. So today we're going to have a bit of a different approach. A few weeks ago on Twitter, Sam King had mentioned me in a tweet that included a link to a Medium post. But this wasn't just any Medium post. Tim Malcolm Vetter had posted up an article called Choose Your Own Red Team Adventure, which naturally was like, this is going to be fun. When I was a kid, I used to devour Choose Your Own Adventure books. And the way these books worked, for those who have never had them, it would basically be a story. And in that story, you would be given a choice. You would read a page, you'd start on page one, you'd read the story, and it would be a small introduction or whatever else, and then it would give you a choice. Do you want to do A, or do you want to do B? And if you choose A, turn to this page. If you choose B, turn to this other page. And it wouldn't be sequential. You could be reading on page 1 and then jump to page 26, or jump to page 52, depending on the choice that you made. And in this way, it was literally you choosing your own adventure. When you flip to the particular page that you chose, again, the story would continue. You'd be given another choice, and then you would have to kind of go from there. Now, sometimes you'd make a choice and you would end the story, and it wouldn't necessarily end well. Most of the time, there was kind of a happy path that you would work your way through. But if you did it right, you didn't bother reading didn't read ahead. You didn't cheat. Now, of course, try telling that to, you know, a 10-year-old, and yeah, we're going to cheat. So a lot of times what people would do is read ahead and try to kind of figure out what's going on. So when I saw that somebody had done this as a red team choose your own adventure, I thought this was fantastic. And Sam had actually mentioned that it would be neat to hear me read this. And I thought, you know what, this is actually a really, really good idea. I wanted to have a standalone episode again anyway, and I thought this would just be a perfect way to do it. Here we are. So, full disclosure, I have not read this story yet. I haven't read it at all, so there's no cheating, there'll be nothing of the sort. And I will be posting a link to this article also in the show notes. So if you wanted to follow along, if you wanted to take a look at it and do it on your own time, you can totally do that. But as for the story itself, I've never gone through it, so I don't know what it's going to look like, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how long it is and anything else. So, I mean, aside from going to the Medium page, or the page on Medium, taking a look at it just to see what it actually is called, and I have no concept of it. I do recommend people take a look at the page anyway, because he has, Tim has put up a Photoshopped book, and this looks exactly like what the original Choose Your Own Adventure books looked like, right? The font is the same and everything else is the same. He has obviously Photoshopped Red Team Edition in here, and it says, you're the star of the story. Choose from 22 possible endings, right? And this is very common with these books. I'm feeling very nostalgic with this, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So without further ado, we're just going to get started. So he does have a bit of a preamble. I'm going to rip through that rather quickly. And yeah, we'll see how long this particular episode takes, because again, I've not read through this yet, so both of us are in for our own adventure. The following story is your opportunity to pretend you're going up against a world-class security program's defenses. You get to decide how you would act at each important step, but you have to live with the result. Or you can cheat, come back to this page, and choose a different path over and over again, so you can learn more. This is encouraged. Warning, there will be professional red teamers who are frustrated by this storyline, claiming that this is unrealistic, or that there are no security programs with defenses this good. Defensive postures this good. Nothing could be farther from the truth. These example storylines are based on real intrusion attempts by professional red teams, as well as criminal and nation-state groups, against many different security programs at unnamed organizations with excellent detection and response capabilities. It is possible that you could make some of those choices in an enterprise environment and avoid detection because the security program doesn't have the maturity demonstrated in each particular example. However, I once heard of a SWAT instructor who was fond of telling his students, "Do not let fortuitous outcomes reinforce bad tactics." For those of us who have much less to lose in our day jobs than a SWAT team, just because you reached your objectives, that doesn't mean your choices will always work. In some cases, there is no clear answer. There's always a trade-off. In this story, you'll have to roll the dice and find out. This storyline aims to do a few things. Challenge defenders to bring world-class defense to their organizations. This is always why we red team. Challenge red teamers to think long and deep about the way they operate. Educate anyone in red teaming about the finer details of the craft, the planning and complex thinking. Let's get started. You're a red team operator working for Red Teams R Us, hired by Spacely's Rockets to simulate an organized criminal group trying to breach their accounting department to steal funds through their accounts payable system. In this case, Spacely Sprockets has supplied rules of engagement that limit you to only remote means of intrusion. Physical access is off the table. So your team lead decides you must use spear phishing with an attachment. T1193. You have a master social engineer on the team who has crafted the lure of the fish, and another capabilities developer who has crafted the initial execution method in the attached payload. Your job is to handle the operation after initial access is acquired. Your fish payload lands on a host, executes, and calls back to your command and control server. What's the first thing you do? So the options we have here: run Mimikatz to collect plain text passwords, figure out where I am, figure out what's running on this host, and prompt the user for their password. So, what is the first thing I would do? Probably the first thing I would do is figure out what's running on the host. That would probably be the first thing that I would do. It's either that or figure out where I am. I'd probably want to figure out who I am. either by grabbing, I could run Who Am I, but I know that that tends to cause some alarms to go off. I think getting a process list would probably be interesting. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to do that either, because sometimes even just doing a process list might trigger an EDR solution, because that's not something people normally do. But it is what malware will do to see if there's antivirus and decide whether or not to run or try to disable it. So I'm going to say, figure out where I am. And then here we go. This is a continuation of Choose Your Own Red Team Adventure series. If you don't know how you got here, start at the beginning. Otherwise, continue reading. Okay, so that's going to be a standard disclaimer on each page. It's important to find out where you are. The question is, how do you do it? And the possible choices, run ipconfig, who am I, and net commands. Or put execution guardrails in your payloads. Or watch the egress IP address. If I was watching the egress IP address, that would probably not give me a whole lot of information. If I'm starting to fire off payloads, that's also not going to be that great. So even though I'm not thrilled with the choice, I'm going to go with the run ipconfig, who am I, and net commands. And standard disclaimer, you run ipconfig or on 10, 42, 98, 19. Then you run who am I. You're in the corp domain as the user Bob. Then you run who am I slash groups. No, Bob is not a local administrator, but he belongs to several finance groups in Active Directory. You use the net commands to query Active Directory to see more information about those groups, as well as to list who the local administrators are for this host and who the domain admins are for the entire domain. And then there's a continue reading of the commands. We'll click on that. After an hour of looking and sorting your results in your notes, you have a good list of your next steps to choose. Then your connection drops. What happened? Maybe Bob just shut his laptop, you'd say to yourself. You send your fish to another user, Alice, from another SMTP domain that you frequently use on engagements. You give it an hour or so, but there's no indication it was delivered. So you switch to another domain, and another. You exhaust your list. None of them work. You run out of time. Game over. And then we have a post-analysis. So this is an example of a choose-your-own-adventure where, yeah, you basically, you're done. So in the post-analysis, this is actually really cool. So he's going to talk about what happened and why. These commands have been around since the beginning of the command line, and you can execute them in your sleep, which is what you must have been, because you didn't notice the endpoint controls running on this host. Commands are actually new processes, and each process, along with its arguments, are logged centrally by the endpoint detection and response, the EDR product, where a combination of commoditized and custom analytics executes against the logs. One of the analysis layers observed that no other user in accounting have ever executed any of these commands, which flagged this host for review. Your intrusion lasted 58 minutes before your host was put into a containment VLAN, and the callback domain was blocked across the enterprise. The raw indicators of compromise, IOCs, were passed to a third-party threat intel team who maintains a large database of domains and IP addresses used maliciously. They review the callback domain, noting that until 11 days ago, it was parked at a specific hosting provider. Pivoting off the original parked IP address, they observed 11 other parked domains and blacklisted all of them at the enterprise's edge, which is why your SMTP email from the other domains did not work, nor would the callbacks have worked if had the payloads landed. The end. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So obviously I'm not satisfied with that, so I'm going to start over at the beginning. And just to save ourselves some time, I'm not going to reread everything. But instead, the gist of it is we've sent a phishing email. The fish payload lands on a host and executes, calls back to our CNC server, what's the first thing we want to do? Run Mimikatz, figure out where I am, figure out what's running on this host, or prompt the user for their password. Well, let's figure out what's running on this host. I think that would probably be better given that an EDR stopped this last time. So we're going to click on that. You didn't stop to figure out where your fish payload landed. Instead, you prioritized discovering what was running on the host first. After all, that is how you determine what you can safely run. Your implant has a built-in way of collecting processes and all of the auto-run hooks into the operating system, spitting it out to your screen in an easy-to-read format. Everything looks good. Looks great, actually. You see an outdated antivirus product and nothing else running. The operating system is old, lacking many of the new security controls. The more you look, the more excited you become. You dig in, start looking at more and more. You find a privileged escalation to get full administrative control of the host. Before long, you've forgotten that you were trying to figure out what's running, and you really started pillaging the system. You dump credentials, upload files, set persistence, and start moving laterally. The next host is also easy to knock over. You weren't really going for it, but you've got domain admin. You're king of the enterprise network. This is going to be an excellent report, you say to yourself. I'm going to get promoted. You find their accounts payable system, give yourself access, and take screenshots. You even put it straight into the report, because you draft as you work to save time. You hand off the draft to technical lead from your team and begin preparations for your next client engagement. A few weeks later, you get visited at home by the FBI. They flash a warrant, come into your home, and take all your computers, including your work computers. They ask you questions, but you recall learning from a Law & Order episode that you should not talk and request a lawyer. Your employer hires their own counsel, who throws you under the bus. They're a small firm. Their goal isn't to protect you. You need your own lawyer. You wonder if you'll ever work in this field again. What happened? And then game over. This is beyond words how much I love this story so far. Okay, so post-analysis. After a couple of days trapezing through a rather weak environment, unbeknownst to you, you finally do trip an alert to the Security Operations Center. They quickly realize they don't have the expertise internally to properly respond to the indicators they see coming from your actions. So they tap into their contract partner, whom they have on retainer for incident response assistance. The situation escalates quickly. They eventually get attribution back to both you and your employer. How? They escalate to the FBI, who performed a forensic image capture and submitted a subpoena request to the hosting provider to discover who paid for the virtual private server hosting the malware callbacks. It was you. Well, your corporate credit card anyway. Now, you didn't violate the spirit of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act when you sent that fish to Spacely Sprockets, and one employee was so excited by your lure that he forwarded it to three friends, one of whom works for a minor federal agency. But your lawyer will get the opportunity to explain all of this in front of a judge who announces he hates computers and still carries an old-school flip phone to stay in touch with loved ones. Hopefully it turns out okay for you. The end. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you know what? That's a really, really good point. You can't always assume that if you're sending out phishing emails, that if those phishing emails have payloads associated with them, that they're always going to be your target. They can always be forwarded off. They can be read from a home computer, especially if they have web-based email. It could be read from any number of sources. And so if you trigger, you're not necessarily going to be in the right spot. So I'm going to do one more of these because I don't want to go through all the possibilities because I don't want people to kind of You ruined the surprise. Now, I suspect I know what the proper path is, but I'm going to try something a little bit different. And I'm going to purposely pick probably the worst possible thing to do. And we'll kind of wrap it up from there. And afterwards, I'm going to go back and do it myself in what I think would be the proper path, just to see what happens. So starting over again, we've landed our fish. Payload has executed. It's gone to our C2 server. We have access. What do? Run Mimikatz, figure out where I am, figure out what's running on this host, or prompt the user for their password. I am going to... I'm going to run Mimikatz. Everybody always talks about Mimikatz. Everybody says how wonderful it is, and you just get all the domain passwords, and you know, c'est la vie. Let's see. We're going to run Mimikatz. Congratulations, it's a Windows 7 host. So credentials are in memory in the LSAS process by default. You now have two plain text passwords. One for Bob, the current user your payload is running under, and another one, Eve. You quickly check Active Directory. Eve's account is a domain admin. Woot! With domain admin credentials in your possession, the world is your oyster. So you attempt to move laterally to another host using Eve's domain admin password. Access denied. What? Try again. Access denied. Try again. You tried Bob's account, but it's not an admin, so it does not have rights to perform the lateral movement. The target organization does not have any single-factor external-facing services. You need to prompt Bob for his two-factor authentication one-time passcode, so you go to work building a user interface to prompt for the passcode. 30 minutes later, you notice your shell stopped responding. You try resending your fish to other victims, but your pixel trackers, you do use pixel trackers, don't you? Suggest the emails are not even landing in any inboxes. Your mail service says the messages were delivered, though. You try to send more fishes with different domains from the same VPS, but you don't switch IP addresses. Same results. Days go by. You're out of time. Game over. So again, looking at the post analysis here, running Mimikatz tripped a silent alarm, which only took 7 minutes to get the SOC's attention. That's an exceptional escalation window. Eve's DA password, domain administrator password, was a simple fake. The security team deployed a homegrown process to inject a fake password into LSAS, invoke Honey account, on random endpoint devices. Then they set Eve's account to generate high-priority SOC alarms anytime it tries to log in. It's a super high-fidelity indicator of compromise, IOC. By 9 minutes in, the SOC correlated the attempted DA logins on the second host with the Mimikatz detection. They've practiced this, and it's really that fast. The SOC started watching your subsequent failed attempts. You tried 8 times before you gave up. They also saw the authentication attempts on the second workstation with Bob's account, which further confirmed patient zero. By 30 minutes in, the SOC pulled all traffic sources destinations from the first host where you landed and identified the domain that hosted your fish. They blacklisted the domain and IP address at the network edge. So this is the SMTP gateway and web proxy. They filed an abuse report with the provider. They also created a signature for the payload in your lure using YARA rules, which is why all your future attempts on new infrastructure were futile. Initial execution is a struggle. That technique took you weeks to develop and work the edge case kinks out. Now it's gone. This is what it's like to go against a good defender. You've got to bring your A game, Leroy Jenkins. The end. So, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love this story. I love the way that it's carries through. And the nice thing is, as you're reading it, as you're clicking on the various links, it is actually going to open up new tabs, meaning it becomes a lot easier to kind of go back and see, well, what if I chose a slightly different solution and whatever else. So I hope you guys really enjoyed that, because I had a blast. That was a lot of fun. So, I mean, this is probably going to be a shorter episode than what we usually have. But again, I highly, highly encourage you guys to go check out this this story, and hopefully you find it as much fun as I do. If you do manage to get yourself all the way through and have a successful execution as a red teamer, you know, drop me a line and fire off a tweet at me and say, "Hey, John, I read through it and I got it." Don't necessarily give the answer away. Just say that you managed to do it. You know, it's awesome. I think I'm just curious to see how people are doing it. There's no benefit outside of my own personal gratification of knowing that people have taken a look at this and tried it out. But this is cool. And you know what? I think this is great for both red teamers and blue teamers and penetration testers as well, to see exactly, you know, how do you craft an attack, and how do you defend against these crafted attacks? And this is fantastic. So, you know, huge thanks to Tim Malcolm Vetter for coming up with this. I thought that was fantastic. And again, a huge thanks to Sam King for letting me know about this. This is absolutely outstanding. So, and there you have it. Again, links for this will be in the show notes. Definitely take a look at that. And then for those of you who want to reach out to me and, you know, continue a conversation or whatnot, you guys can find me on Twitter, and on Mastodon. I'm on the infosec.exchange Mastodon server that Jerry Bell, Malicious Link on Twitter, host of the Defensive Security Podcast, has set up. In both places, you can find me at John's Not Here. If you just want to see show notes or show updates and whatnot, you can follow Purple Squad Sec on Twitter for that. We have a website for the podcast. If you can't get to show notes and whatnot within your podcast player, you can head over to purplesquadsec.com, and you can also point people to that site to take a look at all the different places we can find the podcast, as well as links to our store, which we have for stickers and mugs and t-shirts and clocks and all sorts of items that have our logo on it, which is the sword and shield, as well as a purple 20-sided dice logo, which one of my Slack community members put together and that we're using. So thank you for that. We also have a Patreon for the show as well. So if you're feeling generous, you can find links to that on the website as well. And for our existing patrons on Patreon, thank you very much. You guys are definitely helping me host the show, that's for sure. And various other things that I have going on to help support the show and keep it running. And for those who like Slack communities, we have an outstanding Slack community. We actually had something that helped out quite significantly this past week that just really brought a smile to my face. One of our Slackers is coming up with a children's book. So you will want to go and take a look at Kickstarter. M is for Malware. This is Curtis Brazel, or Brazel, sorry, Curtis Brazel, who is creating a book, a children's book for basically teaching small children cybersecurity. He's already exceeded his goal. It's fantastic. You might have seen it on Twitter. John Strand was tweeting about it as well. But yeah, we're super happy to see Curtis's project come to fruition. So definitely check that out. Check out the Slack community as well. Like I said, we found out about it first there, And we tried our best to kind of publish it out from there, and things spread, and that was fantastic. That, and we have a really, really, really great group of people, and no drama, because we don't stand for drama on our Slack communities. So it's a nice quiet area, kind of like the old person hot tub of InfoSec, which is great because most of us on there are not that old. So, but nonetheless, I'm babbling. What else is there? If you want to join the Slack community, you can go to the website, or you can just go to signup.purplesquadsec.com, and I have an auto invite bot, so you don't have to worry about contacting me to say, "Hey, John, can I get in?" No, I leave it as an open and warm place, and we'll see if people go from there. And if you have enjoyed this episode, please do share it with your friends, share it with your colleagues, your coworkers, your bosses, share it with your mother, your dog, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your cousins, and then leave a review, because reviews are awesome, and often, just like Amazon reviews, can mean the difference between someone subscribing and not. So positive reviews are always welcome, and definitely appreciated. So if you didn't like this episode, well, then I'm sorry you've wasted your time, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors. But hopefully we didn't have anyone who had that. And with that, thank you, dear listener, for tuning in and listening to John Reed's Choose Your Own Adventure Red Team Edition. And as always, I will talk with you all again next time.